Oh, I'm fine. I think. Maybe. Who knows? Oh my god, it's 1930 UTC. Yeah. 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. That is correct. And I'm about, I don't know, 15 seconds away from wigging out, from totally losing my mind. Oh my god, do I have a story to tell you. But before I start, we need to come in here, close this door. I got some laundry going. So my washing machine is making funny noises. Let's close this door. Maybe that'll help. Okay. Holy crap. Let me sit down here. And let me take a drink of tea. And then I gotta get into what happened to me last night. Oh, good tea. Yummy, delicious tea. Oh, that's so good. All right. I think we're good. All right. Gather around. Listen to my tale. This is a true story. This happened to me last night. All right. First, a little backstory. It's not a backstory so much as this is set up to understand the real significance of what went down here. Oh, great. Here's Cat. Hi. Hi, Fluffy Bingins. What are you doing? Oh, you're going to give me headbutt on the shoulder? Okay. It's time to do kitty stuff, so I got to get the kitty blanket ready. Ugh. All right, so a word about my lifestyle. Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee are familiar with my schedule. I basically stay up all night. Not all night. I go to bed well before dawn. Get in the kitty pit. There you go. Okay, Cat's on the banky. We're good. Yeah, so basically what you need to know is the way my life works is I do all my stuff during the day, which is to say during the afternoon and in the evening. And then at midnight is the magic number. It is not necessarily the witching hour so much as it is the time for everything to stop. Once midnight hits, that's the sign for me to stop doing everything. Midnight is the end of the day. Midnight is when I stop working. I start calming down. I get some fresh tea. Sometimes I have a little snack. And I usually sit down to watch some tea. Some tea? No, to some TV. I sit down, I watch a little bit of TV. And I basically try to calm down, start decompressing so that I can, you know, fall asleep by about 3 a.m. That's what I'm always sort of aiming for. That's my goal. Try to go to bed by 3. And this doesn't usually happen exactly the same. You know, sometimes I'm up until 4 or 5. But either way, this is how it goes down. Midnight. That is the time for peace. That is the time for quiet. That is the time for calmness and reflection and self-meditation. And, you know, powering down, trying to get ready to go to sleep. And I especially like Sunday nights, like last night. You know, Sunday nights are nice because everybody else has to go to work and everything, and so it's really quiet, it's very peaceful, and I know that nothing is going to happen, and I don't have to be stressed out or wiggy or any weirdness, right? So last night, midnight rolls around, and I wrap up what I was doing. What was I doing? Oh, I was... I was working on some stuff. You know, nothing too important. And then I was playing my cigar box guitar a little bit, just chilling out, starting to chill out, kind of. Right, so midnight rolls around, and I stopped doing everything, and I went up to the kitchen, and I made some more tea. And I was like, this is great. Got lots of tea. I think I'm going to watch some anime. There was a thing I wanted to watch, so I thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to have some fun and relax. And so I came into here, into this room, to watch TV. And I was sitting down, and I was thinking, and I thought, oh, wait, I forgot to, you know, set up my computer for tomorrow. So I go into my office, and, you know, I'm just doing some minor housekeeping with my computer, getting ready to shut it down and do all that kind of stuff for the night, right? And this is like 12:14. It's about 15 minutes after midnight at most. When suddenly, boom, 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 loud smashing noises that sound like they're coming from my door. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, whoa, is that the mouse in my house? Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee are familiar with my problem with having a mouse in my house. No, a mouse can't make that much noise. I open the office door. You know, I get up out of my chair, open the office door. There's more pounding. I'm looking around. I can see the red and blue flashing of police lights coming through my windows. They also have their spotlights and flashlights pointed in my windows, so there's light streaming in my house. Boom, 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 boom. More pounding on my door, stormtrooper style at midnight, shouting angry, loud, police, open up, police, open up. Boom, 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 boom. I can hear the low bandwidth squabble of police radios. Boom, 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 boom. Lights. Holy crap, I'm losing my shit. You know, because this is supposed to be the calm time. I've already sort of moved into calmness mode, right? I'm like, holy crap. What could this possibly be about? Thousands of things are running through my mind. Okay? What crimes have I committed recently? What have I done that has caused somebody to issue a warrant for my arrest? And I can't think of anything. It's like, I haven't done anything questionable recently. Nothing's going on. What the hell's happening? Why are the police here? And the worst part of it is, I don't know if you've ever had the police pounding on your door at quarter after midnight, but this sets off an automatic response. Your autonomic nervous system goes into massive overdrive. And what's the first thing that happens? Yeah, adrenaline. Your adrenaline glands go nuts. They go into full pump mode. And they start shooting as much freaking adrenaline into your kidneys as you can possibly handle, or more. Because I cannot handle a lot. I cannot handle adrenaline rushes. I cannot be wired. I'm already a pretty wired guy. I cannot take massive, massive adrenaline hits. And this is one of the biggest adrenaline hits I've ever taken in my life. So, you know, I'm in fight or flight mode. Okay, right? Full on, you know, hindbrain kind of, oh crap, danger zone. El zona peligrosa. I guess that would be la zona peligrosa. No hablo español. So what does your Tobster do? Your Tobster can't figure out what's going on. Don't know how to react. And then suddenly in my mind, I started kind of thinking, you know, I wonder if something is up. And I think maybe I know what's going on, maybe, I don't know. So I put on my shoes, and I go out the garage door. I don't go out the front door. That's not smart. That's, I'm not opening that goddamn front door with a bunch of cops. Right? Don't be stupid. This is how you get shot. So I open the garage door, turn on all the lights in the garage, open the garage door. And I come out of the garage door, and I can see cop feet, and I'm waiting for that garage door to raise up, and I want to see how many guns are pointed at me. I want to be looking down the barrel of an AR-15. Well, I want to be looking down the barrel of an M4A1, okay? And I know it's going to happen. So I got my hands up. I got my hands up as the garage door is raising. I've got my hands up in view so everybody can see that I am not armed. The door comes up enough that I can walk out. I walk out with my hands first so everybody can see that, no, everything is cool. And I walk out saying, it's cool. Everything's cool. I am unarmed. Holy shit. All the cop lights are now on me. Cop comes over and he's looking at me kind of funny, but not angry, mad, or anything. Just sort of like surprised. And I'm thinking, ooh, this is gonna get weird. And he says, are you Tobe? And I say, yes, yes, I am Tobe. And there's no guns pointed at me. And I'm thinking, okay, this is getting weirder. And the cop says, are you all right? Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. What's happening? What is going on? And the cop says, we received a call that you might be hurting yourself. You might be intent on hurting yourself or harming yourself, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, that is not the case. I have no intention on doing so. The other cop says to me, well, can we take a look at your arms? And I'm like, yeah. So I hold out my arms and the cop's shining their flashlights on like my wrists and they ask me to pull up my sleeves because I wear shirts. I wear short sleeve shirts, but they're very oversized. So the short sleeves extend past my elbow. They're like, will you pull up your elbows and show us both of your arms stuff? So I show them my antecubital fossa. And all this while, now the other cop is telling me, well, the call we received said that you might be cutting yourself or slashing at your arms and legs. And the other cop asked me to pull up my pants so he can look at my legs. And I showed these guys my legs. And there's no blood. There's no injury. I'm explaining, yeah, no, I am not injured. Everything is fine. I'm cool. What is going on here? And then I realized what's going on. I said, yeah, okay. Now that you have said that, I have a feeling I know what's going on here. And then you're saying, okay, we're going to love hearing this. And I had to explain to them that I have a friend. I have a friend who is very mentally ill. A friend who hears voices, has great delusions, is very detached from reality. And although she is okay most of the time, it's one of those situations where if she goes off of her meds, she gets into these mental places where reality is something completely different. Okay, so I explained to the police that I have this friend, and she's not well, and I explained to them that, yeah, this whole cutting thing sounds very familiar. This is sort of her MO. She herself has made suicide attempts in the past and has scars all over her wrists. And this is just an idea that's in her wheelhouse. And I'm familiar with this. I've heard this a few times from her. She's always concerned about people slashing their wrists and legs and cutting themselves and stuff. And so I explained to the police that, yes, I have this friend, and I think she's off her meds because she's been acting bizarrely for the last week or two, and that she lives in a group home for the mentally, the people who require supervision. And I explained, well, yeah, she's with such and such agency. She lives in a group home down on such and such address. And so the cops are listening to me, nodding and going, okay, okay, okay. Let's see if we can corroborate this. So cop number one goes back to cop car. And it was sometime around in this time that secret SWAT guy showed up. Suddenly there was like a flashlight on the side of my face, and this one guy popped out of nowhere. And I was wondering if he was in my backyard or something. And, you know, some of these guys, cop number one, he was just dressed in, you know, like patrolman uniform, right? Cop two and three, cop two had some tactical gear on. Cop three was like full SWAT. And there might have been other cops. There was at least three cop cars in front of my house, including one SUV. There might have been more cops in the back. I don't know, but I was only talking to and dealing with these three guys. And so cop number one goes back to his cruiser to call dispatch to see if he can confirm where the original call came from, the call to the police, blah, blah, blah. And I had given him my friend's name and where she lived and the phone number that probably came from. And so while he's doing that, I'm talking to the other cops. And, you know, I'm still riding this crazy, crazy adrenaline rush. I am flying. Okay, if I may quote the man, Iggy Pop, I was a street-walking cheetah with a heart full of napalm, okay? That's, and the best part of it is I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm, you know, because I'm in full adrenaline shock. Luckily, we're standing outside where it's a little bit cool. It's just above freezing. And so, you know, I'm managing to maintain my composure, and, you know, if I'm shaking, I can blame it on the cold, right? But at that point, I had to tell the cops, I'm like, look, you guys, I gotta tell you, you scared the crap out of me. Holy crap. You know, right? And they're kind of going, well, yeah. And I'm saying, oh, no, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the effort. You know, good job, good tactics. I actually told them, good tactics. You know, I shouldn't have said that, because... But I'm like, you know, good work. I mean, good job. I mean, I appreciate it. If this was an actual emergency, I would appreciate this you know, response. And so me and the other cops are kind of joking a little bit. Cop number three, who missed some of the story and explanation, asks me, you know, to back up and explain a few more things. So I give both of these guys some more of the backstory about my friend and how I'm trying to deal with my friend and how I'm trying to help her, but when she does stuff like this, it's making me, yeah. So anyway, a couple minutes later, cop number one comes back, and yeah, we got a full corroboration. It's like, yes, the call came from where we thought it did, blah, 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 everything's cool. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God. Whoa, you guys gave me a start. Oh my God. So the cops are, you know, getting ready to roll out. And before they can leave, I hold my hand out and I shake the hand of every single cop and thank them. You know, it's like, good job. Thanks for the response. You know, if this was for real, I would really appreciate this. This is awesome. And then I also apologized for having them getting mixed up with my mentally ill friend and this whole situation that I have to deal with quite a bit. And blah, blah, blah. The cop's like, all right then, take it easy. And the cops get in their cars and they roll out. Holy crap. Our little Tubster turns around, goes back into the garage, turns out the lights, comes back in the house, and proceeded to freak out. Because I'm still just absolutely amped on the adrenaline. I cannot take these kinds of highs. I cannot take these sort of monster bumps. Real shocker. Real crusher. These adrenaline rushes cause other problems. When you take a huge adrenaline hit, your muscles want to go. All kinds of weird stuff starts happening. Your body temperature goes up. And when that happens, for me, this is very bad. If I get hot, then I start breaking out in cholinergic urticaria. Then we have anaphylaxis. And now I'm in a bad shape. Luckily, this sort of didn't happen. As soon as I got back inside, I took some of my emergency medications because I knew that this was about to happen. And, you know, the last thing I need to do is call the cops back. Yeah, take me to the hospital. I'm in anaphylactic shock. What are you allergic to? I'm allergic to the cops pounding on my door at 12:15 a.m. Good Lord. Holy crap. So I came indoors, took some of my emergency rescue medication, and I sat around writing that whole thing out for a while. And then that's when things started getting weird in my head, because basically what this was, you know, this was a, what do they call it? When the police go out on these kind of calls, they call them safety and well-being calls, right? And that's what this was. These calls were making a safety and well-being call to my house to make sure that I was okay. And they did this because they got a call from somebody who was concerned. Right. Does this story sound familiar? Yeah, this is what went down, what, 2 weeks ago when that woman got shot in her house? Where was that? Was that El Paso? Was that El Paso, Texas? I don't remember. But basically, a woman had her door open. Some neighbors were concerned and called the police. The police showed up to do a safety and well-being check on the woman. And a cop who was walking around the side of her house saw her through the window and shot her and killed her. She died because the cops shot her during a safety and welfare check. That's what's happened to me last night. A safety and welfare check. There was a tactical cop walking around my house last night. Did I dodge a bullet? Did I risk my life? Was I gonna get killed? Well, you know, it only scared me once I got to be thinking about it. And I'm only scared, like, now. I wasn't scared at the time because I wasn't thinking, oh, this is a safety and well-being check. Safety and welfare. Good tea. And also, I played it smart. You know, I went out the garage. And this gives them plenty of warning. This is why you do this. You do not just open the damn door because there's the cops. They know where you are. If there's guns pointed at you and somebody panics or chokes or does something stupid, you're dead. You are D-E-D dead. And that's why I went out the garage. Because when you go out the garage, there's a warning. Okay, they're going to hear the garage door opener start opening. The garage is going to come up slowly. That gives everybody plenty of time to think and be smart. And also, there's light in the garage. In my house, you know, I pretty much live in darkness. And in the little vestibule, there's no light in the little area above my front door in my house. So if I'm to open up the door, you know, I'm in darkness. This is not smart. You do not want to be in darkness when you are addressing the cops. They cannot see if you are armed or not. It's about self-preservation, people. You gotta be smarter than the goddamn cops. It's not that difficult. It isn't, but you need to be on your goddamn toes, otherwise you die. I did not feel like dying last night, hence the garage trick. I went out in the garage, I turned all the lights on first, and then I started opening the garage door. And that's when I walked out with my hands in front of me, palms out, so they can see everything. And I walk out saying, everything is cool, everything is cool, I am unarmed. And I actually was unarmed. It was all truth. Yeah, and so then I was actually surprised when the garage door came up and I did not see any guns pointed at me. There was probably guns pointed at me, but I just didn't see any. In the cops that I could see, there was no guns. There was just flashlights. There was guys that had guns, but they were not drawn. Tactical guy kind of freaked me out, though, because he came out of nowhere. He's got the vest on and everything, and it's like, whoa, yeah. He's got the tactical gloves on. He's got his tactical turtleneck on, the tactile neck. Holy crap. So that's what I did last night. That was a beast. Yeah, so this all went down in just about 10 minutes or a little bit less. I can't imagine what my neighbors are thinking. But, you know, it's not like the cops rolled in loud. They rolled in stealth mode. They came up quietly. I didn't know anything was going on until boom, 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 pounding on my door. But with all the cop cars going on and being out there and all the... Oh, God damn it. Yeah. So... The legend of Tobe continues to build in my neighborhood. Not that I ever talked to any of my neighbors, but... Oh, well. Yeah. A safety and welfare call. Yada. So now I'm still a little bit zipped, but still, I'm kind of okay. After the cops left... After the cops left, I came inside... And got back on my computer, and the first thing I did was email my doctor, telling her what happened, and that I was flying. You know, I was just shooting laser beams out of my eyes. I'm still freaking out on the mega adrenaline rush. So I told my doctor, yeah, I'm going to take my emergency meds and blah, blah, blah. If this does not resolve itself, if I do not come down, I will go to the hospital and I'll contact you later, blah, blah, blah. None of the bad stuff happened. I actually wrote it out fairly well, managed to go to sleep at a reasonable time. And again, I got up at a reasonable hour today, so even though I'm a little zippy, I'm cool. Everything's good. I'm fine. The cops did not kill me. Just another win for the police, for the Omaha PD. Good job keeping me safe. And you've been listening to the Dubious Cops Banging on My Door After Midnight Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC. Right here. I'm out. Bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.